We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Blue Wire. With the seventh pick in the 2021 NFL Draft, the Detroit Lions select Penei Sewell, tackle, Oregon.
He's going to run it straight in. Jared Goff.
Carr gets down the Detroit Lions. TJ Hawkins, they did it. They tied it. They're an extra point away from winning this game. Oh, baby, how big is that?
Yo, what is going on, guys? Welcome back to the Pride Podcast, episode 244 on the Blue Wire Network. I am your host, Tyler, joined by my main guy, as always, Mr. Pierre. No Malcolm with us, but Pierre, man, how are you doing today, man?
Man, I'm doing well. I'm enjoying this weather. It feels good to finally be back on the podcast. I feel like I haven't recorded in like a month.
It's been a minute, dude. I mean, me and Malcolm went on Twitter Spaces last week, but we talked about it in the beginning of the show. Like, yeah, it's been a minute, and like, especially not doing a live show and just being here. I mean, we just looked at the last time we did and uploaded an episode. It's been June. I mean, so it has been a month since last time we've, you know, hopped on and just talked between us. And like Pierre said, it obviously feels good to be back. And, you know, we're getting back to the swing of things for football. Pierre, I got a question for you. Are you a guy, like some people I see on Instagram or on Twitter, that are like wired, fired, football 360, like all year round? Like, you need football all year round, or do you need a break every here and there?
I need a break. I think we need a break. I like kind of when the NFL season over, it's kind of closer to the NBA playoffs. I love that.
Yeah.
And then right now, no NBA playoffs, no NFL news. It's kind of more chill. Like, it's good to just sit back and chill, get off social media, hang out with friends and family, do other things. You know what I mean?
Yep.
It's just good to get away from it a little.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I feel like when I was younger, I feel like I could always be locked in on football. It's like anytime. Like, I need football. I could talk football any time of the year. But I feel like as I've gotten older, I have appreciated, like, the outdoors more. And, like Pierre said, tune out social media for a little bit. Like, let's tune out the Lions for a little bit. After the season, after the playoffs, after all the draft stuff, like, I need a couple months to kind of rejuvenate all my football itch back. But I'm kind of slowly getting there. You know, we're getting closer to training camp. You know, we're a couple weeks away. So, like, my itch is now, like, officially there. I got it back, like, last week. So now I'm, like, fully pretty much locked in for football. I'm ready for the fall time. Like, it's that time of year. Like, I'm ready for football now.
Yeah, I feel that. I haven't got that itch back yet, honestly.
You know what it is for me?
I've just been enjoying this summer. I don't know, man. This summer's been great.
No, I feel you for sure. I love, you know, this warm weather. I'll never complain about it. So, you know, you can't bring back clips back in the wintertime when I'm complaining and bitching about the cold. I'll never bitch about hot weather. Never bitch about hot weather. But when we did our we do our fantasy football league, we did like a little draft lottery. We got our picks in. So ever since I got my pick in, I've been doing some mock drafts now. My itch is back. Like, okay, I'm talking football again. Like, I'm ready for football season now. So that happened last week. So that's when I got my itch back. So I feel you, Pierre. I was like you for several months. But now I'm locked in. I'm ready to go back into football.
Nice, man. Well, good luck in your fantasy season. But what do we talk about today, Tyler? What we got going on?
All right, yeah, we got a couple topics to talk about. Some actual relevant Lions news, because we haven't had that in a minute, so we actually have some relevant Lions stuff to talk about. We're going to talk about, first, TJ Hockenson. I want to talk about TJ Hockenson because there are some reports that the Lions are trying to prioritize getting an extension done with TJ Hockenson, potentially even before the season. You know, they did pick up his fifth-year option, which will go into play next year, but it looks like they want to get an extension done so we don't even have to worry about that fifth-year option and him playing on that fifth-year option. So I'm going to ask the question, because I think TJ Hockenson has been somewhat of a controversial player of, is he a guy that is worth the extension? I think everybody in the Lions fan base agrees that TJ Hockenson is a good player. I think everyone in the Lions fan base agrees that TJ Hockenson is one of the top tight ends in the league. I don't think there's much argument there, but I do think there is some fans, and I think we've talked about it, even us, that there are some hesitance. Is TJ Hockenson a franchise player you want to pay, and him being one of the top paid guys on your offense? And I think there is some controversy to that. And with the reports coming out that the Lions are making TJ Hockenson a priority to get an extension done, it seems like the question to Brad Holmes and his staff, that answer is very easy. They want to get this. They want to get this thing done. They absolutely think he is worth that, that price, that he could be a top tight end in this league, and they want him to be a Detroit Lion for a long time. So I'm going to ask you the question, Pierre, because I know you've been hesitant a little bit when I've asked you the question before. What's your thoughts on the Lions potentially giving TJ Hockenson an extension and him being a focal point to the Lions offense for many, many years?
All right, so here's the thing with TJ Hockenson. He just turned 23 on July 3rd, or 25, I'm sorry, on July 3rd. He's young, and maybe the Lions feel like, let's pay him now. He could have a crazy year, and it could cost us more, so let's figure this out now instead of wait till the future. But then, like, on the other side, like, people like me and you and other people say, okay, we got to see improvement with the blocking. And the yak stuff, like, he catches the ball, he gets tackled. He doesn't break that many tackles. And that bothers me, because when you have a guy that big, right, and, like, the way he played in college, we just haven't seen, like, all of that translate to the NFL yet. But a good thing with Hockenson is, like, he hasn't really missed a lot of time. He's been hurt here and there, but it's not like he's, like, missed, like, a lot of games. So he's reliable, right? You know what you're getting out of him. And maybe they think he could be better. And I think he could be better. He really could be better. The blocking, the catching, like, not the catching, the yak stuff. And he's a leader in that tight end room. He's like the only, like, veteran in that tight end room. You look at the other guys, they're all young guys. Brock Wright, Garrett Gilbert, kind of like a Saints guy brought back on, like, a minimum deal, right? They brought him on a minimum deal. Then they have the kid they drafted, James Mitchell. He's a rookie. They have Zylstra, who's bounced around the league a little. So Hock is, like, you could see maybe why they want to prioritize, because they don't have no one at that position. It's just him, and after that, it's kind of like, yo, who's tight end two? Who's tight end three? Is someone going to step up, take that role right now? We don't know that. So Hock is, like, he's all they really have in that room that's consistent, right? But is he worth? So Tyler, Spotrac projects him at $13.5 million a year, right underneath Njoku, who's making a slightly more. That would be the sixth paid tight end. So would you pay him that deal? 4 years, what is that, $54.37 million?
So I think you look around the league and what these guys are getting. I think it's just the virtue of the position. There's just not that many, like, great tight ends. Like, obviously, you got your George Kittles. You got your Travis Kelce's. I think Mark Andrews is kind of putting himself in that category. Darren Waller's, I think, another one in that kind of category who's just really emerged. And I think Kyle Pitts, I think, like, we're going to start talking about him a lot more. I know his rookie year was, he only had one touchdown, but I think we're going to start talking about Kyle Pitts a lot in the next upcoming years. And I think with TJ, I think the reason why there's some controversy, it's not really his fault. It's really where he was drafted. I think, you know, he was a number 8 overall pick. And with that being said, I think people have an expectation that, like, this guy has to be a Travis Kelce. This guy has to be a George Kittle or a Rob Gronkowski. Like, he has to be one of those generational players. But he's not that, but that's not his fault that he's not that, because he's still a very good player. And when you really look at the tight ends in the league and you start ranking them, I mean, TJ is in that top 5, top 6, top 7 tight ends in the league. I mean, it's just not a deep tight ends room in the NFL right now. Like, yeah, you got your top guys right now, like I mentioned. But then after that, like, TJ's right there. And I think he's, you know, borderline with those guys. Like, I think he's a tier right under those guys I just mentioned, the Kelce's, the Kittle's, and the Waller's, whatever.
Tier two.
Yeah, I think he's the tier right under there.
I agree.
And the thing with TJ, too, I mean, he's still really young. That you mentioned he just turned 25 years old. I'm not saying he's going to ever reach that ceiling of being one of those tier one tight ends, but could there be an improvement? Absolutely, there could be an improvement with TJ Hockenson. There's nowhere saying this is what he is right now. I mean, he's going to be going into year four this year, so there could definitely be some improvement. But, you know, I'm hesitant because, like you said, you know, we haven't seen the blocking out of TJ consistently yet. The yak hasn't been there yet with TJ. You know, but when you start comparing the other contracts of guys who are getting paid, I think TJ's more of a tight end than David Njoku. And you said he's making same money, even a little less than David Njoku. If that ends up being the fact, you know, then that's good value. I think with the value of just NFL contracts, we see it in almost every position that's just going skyrocket right now. We see quarterbacks are getting $40 million a year. We saw the receiver market go really crazy this year. I think a $13.5 million contract per year for TJ, I think you could look back at that and maybe now he would be considered the fifth or sixth ranked highest paid tight end. But I think you could look back and into maybe a couple of years when a guy like Kyle Pitts gets his payday or Darren Waller gets his payday, TJ might slide down to number eight or number seventh highest paid tight end in the league. So I think you just look at the guys who have gotten paid. I think TJ is qualified to get paid because I think there's been some less qualified players under TJ get similar money or, you know, more money than what TJ is projected to get right now. So at that cost, I think TJ is definitely a guy you could build your offense from. I think he could be, you know, a top two, top three player in your offense where he could be, you know, one of the more effective pass catchers. And you just hope he improves on his blocking where he could become a dual threat tight end.
All right. If we're being honest here, I think he's going to get more than Njoku.
I do too.
So Mark Andrews at 14, I believe. And then Dallas Goedert's at 14.25 mil. I could see him between that 14 and 14 and a half range. And I still would be okay with that. 15 is a little like, you know, I haven't seen that production for 15 mil yet. Yeah. But if we're talking like between 14 and 14 and a half, I think I'd give it to him. Like you said, the cap's going up and that contract, it's going to look like a bargain because he's going to be entering his prime soon. He's only 25. When he's 27, 28, like 29, that's when these guys produce a lot. Like look at Kelce. He's having his best years in his 30s right now. Gronkowski, he was good. He had him in his late 20s, right? I mean, Kittle is different. He just came out and just balled out. But most of these good tight ends, you look at their production, they kind of came like towards like the middle of their career.
Even Mark Andrews, like I feel like he really started to just pop off, what, 2 years ago now? Like he really started to come like one of those guys. Because I think Mark Andrews, you look back at him, you know, how long has he been in the league now? I can't think of how long he's been in the league.
I'm not sure. Let me look it up real fast.
Look it up real quick. But, like, I feel like we just started to hear about Mark Andrews, like, 2 years ago, like, as a legitimate, like, tier one tight end. I feel like before we talk about him, like, okay, yeah, he's a solid player. But let me see how long he's been in the league before I make a comment.
Entering his sixth year.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, but he's been pretty good. I'm looking at his numbers right now. He's been pretty good. Really productive, actually. Last year's when he kind of went off with that 1,000 yards, 9 touchdowns. But, like, if you could see that type, I don't know if you'll see that kind of jump with Hock because you look at the Ravens' offense, they don't really have, like, a true number one receiver.
No.
The Lions, I mean, now what they added, well, you got JMO. I think he's going to be number one in the future, but we got to pump the brakes on that a little. They're not going to rush him. He's probably going to start on pup. You got DJ Chark coming off an injury. And you got Amon-Ra St. Brown, who's kind of like, let's see what you could do in year two, right? He probably could be really good, but you got to show it. And then Hockenson, when you put Hockenson in there, like, okay, his former tight ends coach is his OC, so he knows his strengths and weaknesses. The head coach is a tight ends coach. I feel like everything is for, like, set up for him to have success. Because you have your deep threat and DJ Chark and JMO. Well, when JMO comes back, right? I feel like the middle of the field is going to be open a lot for St. Brown and Hock.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, I think too, you mentioned those other guys. They're still on their rookie contracts as well. Guys like Jameson Williams. I mean, he hasn't even played a snap yet. Amon-Ra St. Brown is entering his second year. So you have the luxury of being able to pay another guy because you're not really paying those other guys too much money. So, I mean, I'm okay with it, honestly. Just with what we're projecting, I think if it's around that $14 million range and he's the fifth or fourth highest paid tight end, I think I'm fine with it, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. I mean, and if you don't want to pay him, like, move on. But it's hard to find tight ends in this league. We've said this. Yeah. And, I mean, you just look at the top guys. After that, it's like a major fall. It's like,
yeah, you're right.
They're, like, good to, like, average. They're not, like, really good or elite. It's kind of like you're a solid tight end, you know?
Yeah, I mean, there's not really an option to upgrade from TJ Hockenson if that's what you're looking for. I mean, if you want to... I understand the other side is saying, like, okay, we might not be upgrading, but we could still get a solid production and pay a guy way less. I understand that argument, but as far right. as an upgrade, I don't think you're going to get that because you're not getting a Kelsey. You're not getting Andrews. You're not getting Waller or whatever, right? You're not getting that. So if you're looking for an upgrade, you're not getting that. But if you want, you know, maybe a guy that could be making a little less money and get – little less production, I could understand that argument, but I think it makes sense. I mean, you have the leeway to make a deal like this. I know the Lions are one of the most expensive offenses in the NFL, which is absolutely crazy. It is the most expensive offense in the NFL, but I think once Jared Goff is maybe could be off the books soon, or his contract won't look too bad if he ends up being living up to that contract. So I think you have the leeway to make this deal for TJ.
Yeah, speaking of Goff real fast, I think it's like a make or break here. I think he either gets cut or extended. I don't think there's no in between. I don't think they're going to go into next year thinking, like, let's roll with it one more time as a bridge. I think this is his year. He either proves it or doesn't. Either, like, you get paid or get traded or cut.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about it a little later in this episode, what we expect of the Lions in 2022. But I just really quickly, I think in 2023 is the year where the Lions are expected to take like a big leap. Like, that's the year they're really looking. When they had gotten this job, Holmes and Campbell, they looked at 23, I think, is that's the year we expect to make a playoffs, maybe win a division that year. Like, that's the year you're looking for a leap is 23. So you can't, in my opinion, you can't BS that quarterback position. You can't just go with the bridge guy. That's when you have to have your full answer. Like, is Jared Goff the guy, or are you going to go out and replace him with a draft pick, or you can go replace him with of another veteran or whatever, right? Like that, you have to have that question answered. Like, this year it's okay. I think we all knew once they got Goff from the Stafford deal that Goff was going to get 2 years to kind of prove himself. And last year obviously was a tough year for him just because it was his first year in Detroit, new play caller, wasn't much around him. I think this year there really is no excuse. We've talked about this, so I don't want to go too much in depth with that, but it's gonna be a big year for Jared Goff, obviously.
Yeah, speaking of this year, you want to go into, like, what we expect this year, what would disappoint us, what would maybe surprise us?
Yeah, let's start off with what we expect. Let's do the easy one first, and then we'll go on to things that would, like, we would be totally over the moon if we saw this in 2023 for the Lions. And then we're going to do one that we'd be very disappointed if this didn't happen in 2022 for the Lions.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
So let's start off what we expect this year. So, Peter, what's one thing you expect to see from the Lions in 2022?
Improvements on the offense and defense. Offensively, it's year two. Jared Goff played well down the stretch last year. Am I expecting to play like that all year? No. But they're more comfortable with Ben Johnson's scheme. You got some new toys, DJ Chark, then JMO once he's healthy. You got a healthy Hockenson, a healthy Swift, healthy O-line, right? So all of that into one, year two of Ben Johnson, and then Dan Campbell knowing his players more. Like, I feel like the culture is there now. They just need to produce. Yeah. Defensively, same thing. Aaron Glenn is there, year two. You added Hutchinson. You added Pascal, who might start the year on pop. You brought back Charles Harris. You added some linebacker depth. You have your corners coming back, right? Your Amani, big year for Amani, also maybe could get paid this offseason. Maybe not. We'll see. Akuda's coming off an injury. Jerry Jacobs coming off an injury. You have some uncertainty at safety. Tracy Walker after that. Is Kirby ready to play? Who's next? Because Sean Elliott plays 16, 17 games a year. But with all that being said, it's year two in Aaron Glenn's scheme. He knows his players. You had Hutch. You had Pasco. You improve your run defense. Then you're expecting big jumps from Aleem McNeil. I think you could become a star. I really do. Hopefully Levi Onwuzurike shows some more this year. And a healthy Romeo. And then you get going.
Yeah. And obviously with that, you are indicating more wins as well. You expect more wins out of this team, which, I mean, last year's not really much of a hard push because they only had 3 wins and 1 tie. So it's not really much. You're not really asking for much more, but obviously you're expecting more wins this year from the 2020.
Yeah. Campbell basically said, so like there's this derby race. I don't really watch races. It was like a horse race. I forgot the horse's name, but the horse's name was not expected to win. And then he won like in the last second or something.
Yeah. That was a Kentucky Derby. Yeah. I didn't watch horse racing, but that was a crazy story. I heard about that.
Yeah, I forgot the horse's name.
I don't know the horse's name. Don't
ask. But basically, Campbell says he views the Lions like that. Like, he thinks, like, people are sleeping on them, right? Like, we're the underdog, but we're coming for you. We're coming for that spot, that number one spot. So I love that mentality. And he also said, like, the soul stuff. They love when they see that SOL. Whatever. I hate that, by the way. But they love when they see that SOL, same old Lions. They say they use it as motivation and stuff. So that was good to see kind of Campbell fired up with Peter King.
Yeah. I was telling Malcolm this, too, as far as the expectations. Is like, the NFC is very open right now. Like, I think we know, like, some of the division winners we're going to see this year. Like, you know, we're going to see the Tampa Bay Bucks in the playoffs. We're going to see the L.A. Rams. We'll probably see the Niners in the playoffs, the Packers. The Cowboys will probably be another one we'll see in the playoffs. But, like, then after that, you got another wild card team now. Like, I'm not saying the Lions are going to be one of those teams, but could they be in the race in December? I don't think that's a crazy take. I really don't think that's a crazy take.
Yeah, I'm with you. That first game is going to be crucial because I feel like Philly, they're a little ahead of us, but Philly and Detroit are in similar sort of that wild card situation or in the hunt.
Yeah.
Like I said, though, Philly has more veterans. They're kind of more ahead of us in the rebuild, retool, whatever you want to call it. We'll see, though, man. Like, you never know what could happen.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't put money in the Lions to be in the playoffs this year. But could they be a team that's in the fight, in the hunt, I think, for majority of the year? I think that's possible. I really do think it's possible this year.
All right. So, Tyler, what are your improvements for the Lions? Like, what do you expect to see?
What do I expect to see this year is I'm going to focus more on the offensive line. I expect to see some improvements this year from the offensive line. I think it's already a really, really good unit. But I'm expecting this unit to really, like, just pop off. And I think they're going to take notice in the NFL. If NFL teams are already not taking notice of this offensive line, I think they're going to assure themselves as a top three offensive line when it's all said and done by the end of the 2022 season. I think Lions offensive line could be there. You're bringing back the same guys as last year, even though you didn't really get to see the whole units together just because of injuries. We saw Hank Fairley, man. Him, he's a wizard, dude. He's been able to get talent out of guys that you really don't expect. And even when you miss out on a guy like Frank Ragnow for majority of the year, he got really, really good production out of a guy like Evan Brown. So something I love about this offensive line in particular is that even if one guy goes down or two guys goes down, yes, it sucks, but Hank Fairley has made it work where the show still goes on. We're not a one monkey show that if one guy goes down, this whole offensive line collapses. That's something that Hank Fairley, since he's been here, has not happened. So just another year of Hank Fairley, another year with these guys. Penei Sewell, obviously a guy I'm super high on. I expect to see a jump out of him. He's getting another year at right tackle, coming more familiar with the position. So I really expect this offensive line to just pop off, and I think they're going to be a really good unit.
Yeah, I'm with you there. And like how you said, Hanks was since the Patricia days. I mean, the guy would go down. Like at first we kind of be like, yo, who's going to play? And then we see Hank, like, oh, we got this. It's Hank. Like,
yeah,
he'll make it work. Like whoever's in there, they'll be somewhat serviceable. They might not be as great, but they'll get the job done.
Yeah, no, and that's how good NFL teams run is like, you can't be so reliant on one guy or two guys, because if you're relying on one or two guys, you're not going anywhere. Like if you don't have depth that you can count on in the NFL, because you guys, football is the most injury prone game. Like you can't rely on one or two guys to carry your whole team or your whole unit or whatever. Right. And that's something I really appreciate with Hank, because one problem with the Lions we've seen for many years is that they could have a good team on paper going into the year, but just the name of the game in the NFL, there's going to be injuries, and that we can never count on the depth behind them. Since Hank has taken the job, we have not had that problem with the offensive line. I think we could say every other position we've had the problem with, if one guy goes down, we're kind of fucked, but the offensive line is not one of those positions since Hank has came in.
I would say last year with the secondary, we kind of thought we were screwed, but
yeah, you're right.
I mean, you did see like some areas where like maybe you were screwed, but like it wasn't as bad as you thought it would have
been. No, dude. I mean, we had games, especially in December, like Will Harris was starting a nickel corner last year. If you said that before the season, Will Harris would start a nickel corner and you would win a ball game, like there's no way, right?
I'd be like, you're crazy, but there's no way. Looks like Will is like, I mean, he's a decent corner with what we've seen like so far. And he's only 1 year at corner. It looks like they're moving him to corner. I want to see more out of him. Because he's very athletic.
I think the DB's room kind of goes... I think they're kind of getting that reputation that I'm giving this offensive line right now. I think they're slowly getting that with Aubrey Pleasant right now and Aaron Glenn in that DB's room. I think they're getting that reputation that I'm giving. It's like, if one guy goes down, it's not over. Like, we have guys to keep the show still going, and we're going to still be a solid, position group. So,
right.
I want to see this offensive line just take that next step. I think Penei Sewell is going to take that next step. I think he had a really good rookie season. I think he's going to assure himself to be one of the top offensive line or one of the top offensive tackles in the league.
Yeah, I'm with you.
All right, let's move on to something that necessarily isn't expected this year, but you would be over the moon happy if this happened. What's yours?
All right, so it's no secret I love Dacuda since he was in college. Obviously, just hasn't worked out for him yet. Injury, scheme, whatever, right? My thing is Dacuda just becomes a lockdown corner. Like, he comes out, and he just will shout out number one receivers, and he'll lock them up. Will it happen? Probably not, but if it did, man, I'd be over the moon.
Yeah, no, I agree, man. That would be – that would help a lot of Lions fans who were against him taking a three. And I think just even if you were for it back then, I think it just – it makes you feel good. It's like, okay, at least we got a stud. And that would be really refreshing to see. But again – that's asking a lot. I don't know if we'll necessarily see that this year or ever from Jeff Okuda. But, hey, it's, like, somewhat possible, but, like, not realistic.
I'll say this with Okuda. Maybe not necessarily a lockdown corner, but I could, like, see him being this team's number one corner, like, this year and into the future. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe not, like, a top 10 elite corner, but I could see him, like, be a top 20 really good corner in the NFL.
It's possible, and I think the Lions would want that to happen this year, obviously. I mean, absolutely. Just because Amani's in a contract year, I think we talked about TJ being controversial. I think that could be controversial as well. Are you going to pay Amani or not? Are you going to let him walk? That's something the Lions are going to have to answer very soon. So yeah. If Jeff could emerge to be that guy and that they don't have to pay a guy like Amani, they could have two guys that they really count on, if that could maybe be Jeff and Jerry, I think it'd make the decision of, do you extend or let Amani walk? I think it would make it a lot easier for Brad Holmes and the staff.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens with that. But Maybe you pay Amani. That's where I'm at right now. But that's another topic for another day.
All right. My over the moon happy that I would be ecstatic if this happens for the 2022 Lions. It's Jared Goff. I'm going to go back to Mr. Jared Goff. If Jared Goff could prove to me that I'm confident he's my quarterback going past 2022, I would be ecstatic at that point because the Lions would then have two draft picks in the 2023 draft, and they could keep both those picks, and they could just, instead of using one of those picks potentially on a quarterback, they could use both those teams to just improve the team, and that could maybe be some resources to trade up potentially, or maybe you just keep those draft picks wherever they are and you could just use those picks to improve the team and not have to use it on a quarterback. Like, I think some people take it is that, like, I'm not a big Jared Goff guy, that, like, I'm rooting against the guy, and that's absolutely just not the case at all. Like, if Jared Goff could prove he could be the guy, that saves so much, and you have more resources you could use to compete, because then you're not worrying about getting a new quarterback, because that's probably the most difficult thing to do. So I want Jared Goff to prove to me this year. I'm not expecting it, but I would be over the moon happy if it happens, that Jared Goff could prove to me he could be the quarterback, and I'm confident he's the quarterback going for the Lions past 2022.
I think if you talk to most Lions fans, some of them just don't like him, but if you talk to most Lions fans, I think they all agree with you, right? Because if Jared Goff has success, that means in general the team, like, when you have a really good quarterback, a really good quarterback, if the right pieces are around him, generally the team is good and competing for playoffs and potentially Super Bowls, right? So if you see that with Goff, I mean, like you said, you have, like, the franchise quarterback problem solved, and he's only 27, 28 years old. He could play, like, another maybe, say, 8 to 10 years, whatever it is. And then you have, I mean, the offense is pretty much set. Then you just build around and add talent and, yeah, dude, like, who doesn't want to see Goff succeed? If you don't want to see Goff succeed, something's wrong with you. I'm sorry.
Like, I don't understand that. Like, I don't understand that much. Like, I understand if you're not high on Goff, I don't think he's going to be that guy, because that's how I feel right now. But I don't understand the people that are cheering against him and saying, like, oh, I want him to do bad so then we can find his replacement in the draft, or we can trade for somebody or sign somebody. Like, whatever, right? I don't understand that. Like, that's stupid to me. Like, if Goff is your answer, then you have all these resources just to keep building the team and not have to worry about a quarterback. And that makes it so much easier.
And I think, too, just, like, maybe gives me more, a little more optimism than, like, last year, in the beginning of the year, because you saw, like, the change from Lynn to Johnson, and then you saw, like, the weapons he had out there.
Yeah.
I mean, dude, he did not. They picked up Josh Reynolds off the street. They had Amon Ross St. Brown, and they kind of just, you know, it's pretty much that, really. Like, there was other guys, but those two guys were, like, the main targets, right?
And didn't have Hockenson because he was hurt.
And then Swift, I think, was in and out of the lineup as well.
Yeah, Swift wasn't in there either, yeah, until the end of the year. Last two years, I think.
So then you kind of, like, figure out, okay, you have a healthy Hockenson, Amon Ra, DJ Chark. Then you have Josh Reynolds. You know, he might start, but then when J-Mo comes back, J-Mo maybe could take that starting spot, right? So you think about it, then you have Quintus Cephus coming off injury as well. Like, all right, Goff has all these weapons now. Ben Johnson, maybe they could be cooking more. Because they got creative with, like, Khalif Raymond, and they did a lot of stuff. Brock Wright. Like, they just did a lot of stuff. Like, yo, what's going on here? But now imagine they have these guys, and they could get creative with better talent. I mean, he could be that guy, but we got to wait and see.
It could happen. I'm not ruling it out. I'm just not counting on it, if that makes sense.
I'm not counting on it either, to be honest, but I think I'm a little more optimistic this year than I was, like, the beginning of last year. Because the beginning of last year, Goff was like, dude, this is garbage. Like, it was garbage. Absolutely.
I think every Lions fans would agree, too, that they're more optimistic what they saw in December than what they saw from September to November.
Oh, my gosh. Absolutely. Yeah, I agree.
But, yeah, that would be amazing to see if Goff could prove that he could be the quarterback. All right, let's go on to the most disappointing thing that would happen. Like, what's the most disappointing thing that would happen for the 2022 Lions where you're like, damn, you're in January, you're like, damn, the Lions did not achieve this?
So we kind of, like, last year was kind of like, yo, I don't really care about the record. I want to see player development stuff. We saw that. This year, I care about the record a little more. Like, I don't want 3 to 4 wins. I want at least 6. Is that a lot? Maybe 5 to 7, something like that. I don't want 3 to 4. That just means, like, okay, like, what are we doing here, right? If you could get, like, at least 7 to 9 wins, that would be really good. 6 wins, I'd be okay with. 5, whatever. Maybe there's injuries or something. But I think that 7-9 is where I want. Would disappoint me a lot is like 3-4 wins. Even if Goff gets hurt or someone gets hurt, just 3-4 wins is like, it's like a wasted year.
Yeah.
Because last year you had 3 wins. Year 2, it's not showing progress.
Yeah. I don't even think 5 wins would be acceptable. I think 5 wins would be disappointing. I think 7's my number, but like if 6 happened, it's like, whatever. But like 7's my number. I want to see 7 or more from this team this year.
Yeah. I still like caution people a little because like this is year 2 of the rebuild and like a lot of these guys are still young and kind of figuring it out. You know, Levi was hurt last year, so he's playing this year. You got all these young guys they drafted this year. They drafted last year. The team is one of the youngest teams in the NFL. I think the oldest guy on the team is Michael Brockers, and he's 31 years old.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're really young. They got a lot of guys in their 20s, not a lot in their 30s. I think Vitae's a second at 29, I believe.
Yeah, but, like, expect or saying that the team could win 6 games is, like, that's progress, but, like, you're not asking for a playoffs, like, a playoff spot. Like,
no, right, yeah.
That's a reasonable expectation by fans. If you ask for 6-7 wins, if you're asking for 10 wins, 11 wins, yeah, then that's not a reason.
Yeah, I'm with you. Yeah. I'm just, like, maybe be a little more, like, 5 wins wouldn't, like, it depends how it happened, like, not on wood, but any, like, major injuries, you know?
Yeah.
Like, to keep players, that would suck, but you still see, like, improvement and stuff. Yeah. I just want to see, like, players developing and win total improving. If players will develop, but if they don't, the win totals don't improve, it's like, what are we doing here? And I don't expect 3-4 wins. I don't think that's going to happen this year. I think it'd be more to, like, that below average instead of being bad.
I would love to see this team just be in the hunt, like, majority of the year. Like, not like, you know, like, last year, dude, it was October. Before Halloween, we're saying this team is, like, they have no chance. Like, they're not even the hunt picture.
Yeah.
I want to see when Fox displays that picture in, like, late November, like, Thanksgiving, let's say. When we play Thanksgiving, Fox displays the playoff picture. I'm not saying the Lions should be in that 7th seed or 6th seed right now. But I want to see the Lions just in the hunt. I want to see just put the Lions display in the hunt.
Yeah. I mean, I'm with you there, too. So, Tyler, what would, like, disappoint you maybe this year?
What would disappoint me is if we see something that we saw, like, midway through the season, I think early points in the season last year, Dan Campbell definitely improved on it. But Dan Campbell kind of getting out-coached by another coach is, like, it's going to happen every here and there. I'm not saying the guy is going to be perfect every game. I'm not saying that. But I don't want to see those same bonehead decisions that we saw a lot of last year. You're just really scratching your head. You're like, damn, Dan Campbell, what are you doing? Like, what is this challenge call? What is this play call? Why did we call this timeout here? And, like, again, I'm not going to agree with every decision Dan Campbell does. Like, I understand that. But I want to see him just improve as a coach in general. And if he doesn't, I see kind of a similar thing to what we saw in October or September or November. I would be disappointed if we saw that going into this year. I want to see more of what we saw in December. Just as the team gotten better. Post-Thanksgiving, I want to see more of that Dan Campbell. And again, it might not result to every win, but as long as I could see what the coach is doing, maybe I don't agree with it, but I could see what the coach is doing, I would feel good about that. But if I see something like I'm really questioning what Dan Campbell's doing, maybe I don't even necessarily agree with it, but like I really question what he's doing, I would be disappointed in that. I want to see a competent coach because there was points last year where like Dan Campbell didn't even look competent to me as like a coach. Like he was making just some really bonehead decisions, some really questionable calls. And I just don't want to see that as much in 2022. I would be disappointed if we saw what we saw like in October or November from Dan.
Right.
All right. Let's talk about our final topic that we have here. This one should be pretty quick. And Peter, I'm going to give it to you because you're the one who sent it to me today. What's going on, Dan Campbell? What's all the buzz with Dan Campbell recently?
All right. Per Max Meyer, the most popular NFL wager by handle in July at Caesars Sports has been Lions over 6 wins. So I guess Vegas maybe has them at over under 5.5 or 6, and they're taking the over. Or it's at 6 wins. So they're taking over 6 wins, right? Mm-hmm. And then additionally, Dan Campbell has drawn the most money overall to win coach of the year. And DeAndre Swift has drawn the most money overall to lead the NFL in rushing yards. All right. I just want to say something. If you're betting on DeAndre Swift to lead the league in yards, look, I like DeAndre Swift, right? I think I think you're going to lose that money. Respectfully. Like, I think you're going to lose that money.
They're going Nothing for the odds. That. They're going for the odds, Pierre.
They're going for the odds. I understand that. But, Tyler, let's be honest. Are you putting money on those odds?
Absolutely. Oh, the DeAndre Swift one? Absolutely not. I wouldn't even put on the Dan Campbell Coach of the Year
one. The Dan Campbell one is, like, a little more, you know, I could see putting money on that. Like, it's a low odds, but it could happen. Like, you know? But the six wins, I would definitely take. Probably the over. If they gave me over under six, I'd probably take the over right now.
So what do you think Dan Campbell, let's go into this. So like if Dan Campbell does win Coach of the Year, like how does he do that? Like how does he get to Coach of the Year? Like I don't think he has to win a division to win Coach of the Year. Like what does Dan Campbell have to do to win Coach of the Year in your opinion?
Well, you see improvement, right, as the year goes on, and you see the NFL taking notice of Dan Campbell. They're like, all right, this guy's legit. Like the players respect him, even opposing players, opposing coaches, whatever, media, everyone respects him. Then you see wins. You probably see, I want to say nine or more wins. Like, I don't think you're getting Coach of the Year with seven or eight wins.
No. Yeah.
I mean, nine is even, like, nine and eight. That's kind of, let's say 10 or more wins.
I think nine wins could get him in. Because if the Lions win nine games, like, that's, like, really unexpected. Like, I think that's a very unexpected thing. And that could be a playoff spot. I think nine wins with the seven seed, I think that is a playoff spot in the NFC. Yeah. So I think that could be enough for Dan Campbell to win Coach of the Year if he does achieve that.
Right. I'm with you there. That's what I could see, like, him being Coach of the Year. And then maybe going to the playoffs, right? Like, going to the playoffs. If you don't go to the playoffs, I don't think that's Coach of the Year. If you don't go to the, I don't think a coach can get Coach of the Year by not going to the playoffs.
I agree with that. I think if he makes the playoffs, though, I mean, that's a huge turnaround. I mean, a team that won three games last year, a team that picked the number two pick in the draft last year, and you turned it around all in 1 year to win nine games and clinch a playoff spot. Like, I think that's qualified to be Coach of the Year. The only way I think someone would take that reins from him is if someone like Robert Saleh, who was someone in a similar position as Dan Campbell last year, or that's really about it. That's the only one I could really think of. It's like Robert Saleh does the same thing, like, and he goes to the playoffs. I think that could take the reins if Dan Campbell, you know, make the playoffs. Like, who would also get that award? I don't know.
And then Doug Peterson, maybe. Like, if the Possible. Jaguars all of a sudden. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. The Jaguars are kind of weird the way they're built, but that's another story for another day. So would you take let's say six wins. Someone comes up to you over underlying six wins.
That one's tough, dude. So I know on, I think it was FanDuel. I don't remember which one, but I think it was FanDuel was 6.5. So the Lions would have to win seven or more games.
I think Caesars at six because that's
six. Like, yeah. Over. Yeah. That's a tough bet, dude, because that's like right where I feel like this team is going to be. Like, I think that they could win seven games. I think they could win six.
All right. Let me make it a little easier. 5.5.
I would take the over on 5.5.
Yeah, me too. The six? Okay, so it's either like five games or seven games, right?
I think this team wins seven games this year, so I'll take the over.
I think if, like, gun to my head right now, I take the over as well.
Me too, yeah. It's close. It's really close, but I take the over, I think.
Yeah.
I've been burned with these overs this year because I've been asked the question. This is my third time I'll be asked this question. Not a different question, but Detroit sports team. I got asked earlier in the year with the Tigers, 77.5. They won 77 games last year. I'm like, over all day. Yeah, they're getting over. And then someone asked me the Pistons last year. I think it was like 23.5 or 24.5. I'm like, oh, that's over too. They won like 20 games the year before. They both are Pistons didn't achieve that. It looks like the Tigers are not going to achieve that either. So don't. Be cautious with my opinion on this one.
No, like, if we're being realistic, though, like, the Pistons, you know, whatever, they were young. And then the Tigers, I mean, I don't even know what the hell they're doing, whatever. But it seems like the Lions and the Pistons actually kind of know what they're doing. And the Red Wings. Like, it seems like they have competent GMs.
They actually got a competent GM, as you're saying.
Yeah, so, I mean, the future is bright for Detroit sports. Like, you can see it.
Yeah. You hope that this ends up working out for at least one or two of these teams. And, you know, just get to finally celebrate something relevant here.
Yep.
But, yeah, I'm with you, Pierre. I think I would take the over if I had to choose, if I had to put money on it. Would I put money on it? I don't know, dude. We'll see. Maybe.
Just a reminder to our listeners, you have to be 21 and older to gamble.
Yeah, you do. You do have to be 21 or older. $5 to the game. Or you could go on Underdog, 18 or older. Just use promo code Pride Podcast. Hey,
yes,
they match your money, $10 back on your first deposit.
Yep.
So, all right, I think that's all we got. Pierre, good show. Good show, man.
Yeah, that was fun. I had a good time.
It's good to be back. We haven't been here in a while, so it's definitely good to be back. And, you know, we talked about it last week. We're getting closer to training camp. We're getting closer to Hard Knocks. So you guys could expect some more content from us coming. We're going to start recording a lot more just with football coming back into swing. So definitely look out for that. And once Hard Knocks gets kicked in, content will be blowing up. Once the regular season comes, it will definitely be blowing up. I mean, if you guys have followed us any regular season, we record a lot during the regular season. We do about 2 to 3 pods a week during the regular season. So definitely stay tuned for that if you're a new listener. And if you have not already, you can leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. It is always very much appreciated. And that's all I got. Thank you guys all so much for listening. I'm out, guys. Peace.
All right, guys. I'm out. Peace. Thank you.